Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Matthew, and I serve as the teaching pastor at our Westerville campus. And this past Sunday, we wrapped up our teaching series in the book of Song of Songs. And as we've talked about marriage, really over the past few weeks, one of the things that we've said is that the wedding ceremony is not the finish line of the relationship, but simply the start of the race. And marriage is not a 5K. No, marriage is a marathon with a lot of highs and a lot of lows. And so as we wrapped up our series, the question we asked this past Sunday is, how do we finish this race well? How do we make our final years of marriage the best years of our marriage? And in Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 4, it says this, "Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." This is the third time this phrase has been repeated in the book. We find it for the first time in chapter 2 when they're very early on in their relationship together. We find it again in chapter 3 right before they get married. And now we find it for the third time here in chapter 8, years into their marriage. But this phrase, "do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires," it's really both a warning and an encouragement to operate within God's design for love, sex, and marriage, which when you think about it is a bit odd for her to be saying after they've been married for years. Like, why is she bringing up this warning again? It's because she's speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem. She's speaking to the unmarried women. And as she's looking back on her life and her marriage and her decisions, she's thankful that she chose to follow God's design for love and for sex. She's glad that she has honored the Lord in her relationship, and she's now passing on the same advice and the same wisdom that she had followed decades earlier. And so one of the things we talked about this past week was that if you are single or dating or engaged, or if you're newly married, or if you have young kids at home, we encourage you to find people or to find couples who are in that next season or stage of life. People and couples that you respect and admire, that you can model your life and your marriage and your parenting after, and go and build a relationship with them. And don't wait for these people to come and find you. Don't wait for them to approach you and say, "Hey, let me mentor you and invest in you." No, we want to actively pursue a relationship with them where we say, "Hey, I'd love to meet up for coffee and ask you some questions about marriage." Or, "Hey, we'd love to take you to dinner as a couple and to pick your brain about parenting." But learn from their wisdom and mistakes. And you can avoid paying the dumb tax by learning from those who have gone before you, who are in that next season and stage of life. But if you have been married for some time, or if you are further along in your parenting journey, I would encourage you to look for younger people and younger couples that you can pour into and invest in. In fact, the Bible really commands us to do this. In Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled." Here, Paul is reminding the older men and women in the church to not become lazy or to get distracted in old age, but to continue to pursue the Lord and to set an example by the way that they live. He says to the older men in the church, "Hey, live a life worthy of respect. Be self-controlled, be loving, be patient." And he tells the older women in the church, "You know, don't become busybodies who sit around gossiping and drinking too much wine." He says, "Be respectable in the way that you live and teach what is good." But he tells both the older men and the older women to not waste these final decades of their life, but instead to pour into and invest in those who are younger than them, to those who are behind them in their journey. He says, urge younger women to love their husbands and children well. Teach them to be kind and self-controlled and pure. And he says, encourage the younger men to be self-controlled as well. Set an example for them by the way that you live and the way that you teach. And so for the seasoned saints in our church, and I'm grateful that we are a multi-generational church, I just want to remind you that you have incredible value and wisdom to add to the church. And I want to encourage you to not waste your final decades on just selfish pursuits. You know, too many Christians, they take their foot off the gas once their kids are out of the house, and they stop attending church regularly. They get disconnected from community. They stop using their gifts to serve and to be a blessing. They sort of have this attitude of, hey, I already did my time. It's someone else's turn. But the church needs you, and God wants to use you to make a difference, because your later years of life can be your most fruitful years of marriage and ministry. And I'm so grateful for the way that so many in our church who are in this season of life are still engaged and still serving, still finding community and pouring into the next generation. They are using their gifts and their talents to make a difference. And so I'd love to take a moment to pray for you today and then give you an opportunity to pray as well. And so God, we thank you, Lord, just for this series that we've walked through over the past few weeks as we've talked about marriage and dating and love and sex. And Lord, our desire is to do things in a way that honors you. Lord, that we would be faithful to what you have commanded, Lord, because we know your commands are not burdensome, but they are for our good. They're for our flourishing. And Lord, I pray for younger couples in our church, Lord, that they would seek out mentorship, that they would look to couples that they can learn from and seek wisdom from. And I pray for those who are further along in their journey, God, that they would be selfless in these final years, that they would pour into and invest in the generation behind them. Thank you, God, for how you're at work in the life of our church and how you're using couples and marriages all throughout our church. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things and that we pray. Amen.